Welcome back to Apollo City Comics, your anything and everything comic book podcast. I'm Brandon Blocksdorf.
And I'm Brandon Moncada.
And I'm Alex Batts.
And boys, it has been a wild fucking couple months, I'm not going to lie. It's been pretty crazy. We have a lot of cool stuff going on. And we are actually continuing our astonishing Miracle Man saga today. Entering a new era into a new volume out of the like five that there are. And I'm super hyped. But dude, between like talking to creators, but I'm filling out fulfillment, getting books ready to ship, and like just the regular day life and comics and stuff, and it has been insane, which is why our social media has been a little bit quiet, and why like posting has been sporadic. But like, if you're keeping up with episodes, excuse moi, because I'm in charge of the Instagram and I haven't been posting the promo images, but here we are yet again entering stuff. But you know what? It has just been downright like exhausting to a certain point, but you know, we're still alive because we get our coffee through Coffee and a Comic over at coffeeandacomic.com, where you can set up your pull list, get all the variants you want, help support Frank, his new brick and mortar store, a small business, and you get your books bagged and fucking boarded when they're sent to you. Beautiful. Beautiful. That means you could thrash them around, take them to work right away once you get your shipment, whatever you want. Like, you're able to do that because they are bagged and boarded.
It'll be fine.
Just toss it. It's going to bounce right off, and there's like a,
should play disc like a 30% golf with your chance. Floppies.
Play and disc golf.
It'll be fine. That's the...
Brandon's just like, you see this book? He's like, it's fine because a copy of a comic boarded that book and yeah, bagged and boarded that shit.
I want to see a comic book like fly through a window and just crash through it. You know what I mean? Or like, dude, stab into a wall and still be in mint condition. Like,
yeah. I'm gonna patent like the first like indestructible bag and board combo ever. I guess dip this shit in lava.
That's just slabs. You
can still crack them open. I mean,
yeah, but like,
imagine having like a 50. Imagine the Tom King run in single issues, but all slabbed.
Just all slabbed. You just have fucking 85. Well,
you bring them with you in your backpack, ready to read.
Just trying to read a comic at lunch, and you're just cracking open a slab.
Yeah, just, you get an ice pick, just stab at it.
Okay, you have to carry around luggage that's the books, and then also a toolkit for opening them.
Little mini screwdrivers, like, oh, it's beautiful. Man, yeah, it's check out coffeeandcomic.com. Use our 15% promo code, and guess what? And out come the comics, our punk rock anthology, right over here. Will be listed on the website soon, so you can get your copy coming soon to coffeeandacomic.com. Or maybe you're subscribed to our Patreon, and maybe you are one of our higher tiers that, you know, has a digital copy of An Outcome the Comics right now, and therefore you probably get to read it early, but get your physical copy over at coffeeandacomic.com. But there's other things that comes with our Patreon, such as Alex.
Yeah, there's a lot. We've got a couple different tiers. So we have our $1 tier, which gets you access to our Discord, and then also the book club, which we've been catching up quickly on Calvin Clay, trying to get through that book. So that's the first tier. The next tier up is the $5 tier. You get the book club, of course, in the Discord, and you also get our late night episodes, which we started to put those out, which are very exciting, very fun stuff. And then the next tier up gets you some behind the scenes stuff, and then also our books digitally whenever we have new books, which is what Brandon was just talking about. And then the highest tier from us, you can actually hire us to edit your book if you have a project that you're working on, like a single issue or one shot or something that you kind of want help with, need help with. You can definitely reach out, get to that tier, and get us to work on your book with you. So yeah, be sure to check out our Patreon if you are not there already. It's really cool. Bunch of different options, bunch of different cool stuff we've got for you. So yeah, check that out. I stopped talking as
we have so many cool,
love that synergy.
I'm so excited to be doing the, you know, we're going to be doing a newsletter format too, you know, Patreon updates too. So a lot of cool content's going in there just on the sidelines, and I'm so excited for that. And I'm as much as I love Cavalier and Clay, I can't
I'm
wait.
I'm so excited to get to other books. I can't wait.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's going to be so exciting. So keep an eye out for that.
There's always that burnout when you like commit to something that's like, I don't know. It takes up just all your time.
Well, it's also because like I don't think that we did not plan, because we started Cabin Clay like months ago at this point, and we didn't plan on still be doing like one book like 4 months later. Like it's just a lot of stuff happening.
I know everything.
we just couldn't do. We didn't have time to record more of them. So it's just turned into like way longer than we thought it would, and so. Still a fantastic book, though. Definitely go check out the episodes. They're awesome. Patreon also now is like has Spotify integration. So if you use Spotify and Patreon, you can listen to our Patreon exclusive episodes through your Spotify app. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. We can make a social media post about that. That's super sick. That's one of the coolest features that you could have on there. And especially for those Cavalier and Clay episodes. I think that's the best. But dang, our Patreon's going to be on fire by the end of the year. Be so worth it for you guys.
Oh, 100%.
Catching up. But man, and I mean, because of that, and I say the end of the year because we've been doing so much and we're prepping for next year. We have an Out the Come the Comics where shipments, honestly, maybe by the time this episode airs, will be getting sent out. And also, we're getting ready to announce the date for the Kickstarter for the CyberSync anthology. And don't forget, we could still take submissions for Kai Brown's Shadow Anthology. That's open till October 31st, so take your time. Shoot us any messages if you have any questions. We've gotten a bunch of really great creators and messages, and I'm really hyped to see just how different this one is. And also, we got to promote this one a bit differently. This one was heavily promoted at San Diego, and I've been dropping it off at my comic book shop down the street, my local comic shop. So I think we're going to get a really fresh batch of comic book creators in this Shadow Anthology. But honestly, I saw the cover to the CyberSync Anthology, and I wish I could just share it with all of you right now. Flower sent it to us.
It's too good. I want to share it with everyone. Y'all have seen it, and like a couple of my other friends have sent it too, because I was like, oh, you have to see this. This is epic. I can't wait. That'll hopefully, not by the time this episode's out, but hopefully by the time the next episode that we have is out, that'll be out there in the wild, and you'll be able to see it, which is super. I can't wait. I'm so hyped.
I can't wait. I've been making all the books like the background on my phone, and it's just like one of those things where I'm just like, I'm so hyped. Like, I'm so hyped about all that.
It's just so, it'll never not be surreal to see like a cover for a comic and you're like, oh man, this was just in my head. And now I'm like looking at a
now
thing.
Now it's there.
Yeah, that's there.
Yeah.
So that's just super exciting. I can't wait. But yeah, the pre-launch page for CyberSync is live right now. So be sure to go follow that. That'll be linked down below.
Yes.
But yeah, I think that's all the like housekeeping stuff, unless we have more stuff.
It's so much,
dude. Yeah, it's and we'll be rolling out more stuff. Keep updated, stay updated for as much as we can keep you updated. is a better term. But and you know, we have some great live videos that we've been doing with creators. We're kind of drifting away from doing creator interviews on the show, namely because, you know, sometimes we record an episode, we got to edit, we got to promote, we got to publish. And sometimes it's just hard to get that reach with just doing an episode. And a lot of our episodes, we try to make timeless. And since there's so many of our creator interviews are focused on Kickstarters, we try to do that on our Instagram. I'll be doing Instagram Lives interviewing people. And we have some wonderful conversations there. And I mean, we've been talking so much about craft and what it's like to be an indie creator and just like ideas and what's going on in comics, not just promoting their work, but just like really good conversations in general. So I recommend, like, if you just want some cool content, check out our live videos on Instagram, and maybe one day we'll figure out and put the work in and try to put them on YouTube or something for you all. But for now, check that out. But
definitely,
man, it is time to talk about the Man of Miracles, Miracle Man. This is so for we all know. We're all
a discussion every time we get to Miracle Man. Time.
Where this are you in the book, guys?
which chapter? What page?
I am starting book two of the hardcover, The Red King Syndrome, this killer Alex Ross cover, and it's the first story in book two. And I'm also reading, you know, the Eclipse printing, which is really rad. Dude, check out the Eclipse printing. It has a picture of Thanos in the corner of it right there.
Oh, shit.
Right? Pretty wild. But this is the cover to issue four. And you know, the big thing on, you know, what's different between the two is the coloration. And then this one has a short backup story called the Red King Syndrome, which we'll get to in a bit. But, I mean, okay, here we are at this point of Miracle Man where we've left off volume one, where, you know, Mike Moran rediscovers that he has the superpower by saying this word. And, you know, he ends up, his whole life changes. He's realizing what he's capable of doing. He tries to reconnect with his former sidekick, young Miracle Man, and turns out that that guy is an evil, like, entrepreneur, and he's basically Apple and evil and shit, like, doing all this technological stuff. And they end up having a fight, and, you know, young Miracle Man is basically, like, in a crazy house at this point, you know what I mean? In, like, a nut house, because, like, he was trapped in that older, stronger body for so long that when he reverted back to his normal form, he was still a child. And so that kid was just destroyed in the head. And, it's, you like know, a, Miracle a Man case bangs, of
Benjamin Button.
Dude, for reals, yeah, honestly. Miracle Man, you know, and Mikey Moran, which is kind of funny how they're both MM. It's kind of adorable. But they, you know, are trying to reconnect their life and figure out how it all fits. And of course, Miracle Man bangs, you know, Mikey Moran's wife. Technically, his wife? Hard to say. Debatable. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe that's a Apollo City late night question.
like personhood debate between the two of them, like Miracle Man and Mike Moran, whether or not, you know, like the difference there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and they are
technically two different people.
Right? Yeah, it's a different being taking over your body, you know? And that gets touched upon and really, like, pointed out in this issue, which is why I bring some of this up. And, you know, Miracle Man discovers his origins, where he came from. He came from a lab, and all his memories of his past were kind of implanted. He fights this guy, Big Ben. Yeah, Big Ben. And, you know, that's another dude that's kind of the same experiment that Miracle Man's under. They're seeing something totally different than reality, and they're living it. And so, you know, Miracle Man just came out of this strange vengeance of, like, destroying this laboratory. And we're kind of just continuing that story at that point. Am I missing anything leaving?
I mean, there's a lot of busy work in between, just, like, this whole idea of, like, Miracle Man struggling with himself, like, how his wife, like, prefers the superhero version over him kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, like, the whole, like, betrayal of, is it Kid Miracle Man or was the one that was, like, Jeff Bezos?
Yeah. Kid Miracle Man, yeah.
So there's or a lot young of Miracle that,
Man.
Too.
I don't, yeah, it's Kid, not Young Miracle Man. That's a different, that's so shit.
Yeah, there's, like, two of them. So, like, there's a lot of that shit, too. And, like, a lot of existential, I guess you could say, like, crisis kind of thing. I don't know if that's the best way to put it, but, like,
I would say so. Identity, that's really emphasized, you know, in this next volume, too. Emphasized.
Yeah, and it's just, like, this, his whole identity of, like, you know, should he just stay as Miracle Man or stay as Michael Moran or whatever, so stuff like that. I was also going to point out how fucking stupid this is. So, you know, how Marvel, we've been always going through, like, Marvel reprinting the issues and everything.
Yeah.
So I want you to really think about, like, how this is supposed to be listed if you're trying to find it. This is the Marvel reprint that is technically issue 5, but it says book 2, and then with the first story is Warrior number 13.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, dude. That's not the best, the easiest thing to follow.
And you can't even tell the story, the original writer, because he didn't want anything to be associated with Marvel.
Like, you're like, not even, you're like, who the fuck? I don't.
Can you imagine, like, if this was in a library or some shit and you're just trying to find it?
Dude, that's wild, man. That yours even says, because you're reading the single issue Marvel reprints. And I'm reading the hardcover version and the Eclipse. So the Eclipse one does say Miracle Man Book 2 Cat Games. And my Marvel reprint hardcover just says Miracle Man Cat Games.
Yeah, the Omnibus so also like that, just says, like, Cat Games.
Okay.
It's part of Book 2, The Red King Syndrome. Like, it's just first chapter in Book 2, which is titled The Red King Syndrome.
And then if you try searching that up, you get the Miracle Man by Neil Gaiman, issue number 5. So it makes it even more confusing.
Well, mine is chapter 1, even on the table contents, it does say chapter one, cat games, and then chapter two, one of those quiet moments, chapter three, nightmares. I think we cover just the three chapters in this one issue.
Yeah.
Huh. Because
either way, it's a mess.
And the next issue, oh, I see. It's an interlude. Oh, okay. All right. We'll talk about that in a bit. But what do you guys think of this issue? You know, we're technically we're only four issues in, just for the record, you know.
Well, I mean, I liked it. I thought it was definitely. I'm looking at the table of contents because I'm trying to find. Yeah, so like it's book two, The Red King Syndrome, and then chapter one is Cat Games. And then chapter two is one of those quiet moments, which was the second little short story.
Well, I was going to say what's interesting about Cat Games is when you read a lot of like Alan Moore stuff, you can kind of see the like seeds of like how he did storytelling in his later books.
Mm-hmm.
So I say that because, you know, Cat Games is about like watching like the jaguar hunt and everything and how like it's an apex predator. And then you kind of see that it's like it's basically like a simile or like a metaphor for Miracle Man, how he's like the apex predator. Mm-hmm. I don't know how far you want to discuss the actual issue itself.
I want to talk about that because you're right. I was going to point that out. He does that a lot in Swamp Thing where he has like mirroring stories and you're kind of like, what's this like fucking, you know, cheetah like story doing with Miracle Man? Like, how does it relate? And you really do have to like think about how Alan writes to understand that similarity.
Yeah, he does a better version of this in Watchmen, where the first time, what's Night Owl's name? I forgot already. The newer one.
The young one.
Oh my God! Well, when Night Owl and Silk Spectre, when they sleep together for the first time, there's the TV showing like some acrobatic dude doing shit in the background.
Oh yeah.
And he talks
exactly,
about how like it's basically like his sexual performance is being like told through that like TV of mm-hmm. like the guy doing all the flips, and he's like, oh, he's doing his best, he's almost there, and it's basically narrating the sex scene. So he does something similar again in that as well. And so he's always played with this idea of like similes and metaphors being used to tell the actual story.
Describe the character. It's a great, I learned that, I steal that a lot in my writing too. It's such a cool thing to do. And it makes you kind of think in different perspectives and it kind of helps you relay, you know, different imagery and words at the same time too. It's a fun thing. And Alan is absolutely brilliant at that.
Mm-hmm. He only got better with it over time too.
Mm-hmm. I love that you pointed that out because, you know, there it's talking about, what's his name? Garganza.
Yeah.
I always think of the beans. And now I can't think of the
Garbanzo?
Garbanzo, yeah.
The other thing too is we get like, we follow up with like Miracle Man and his, well, I guess Michael and his wife.
And that's the scene I love. Like you really see how like, pudgy Alan Davis, you know, his run is kind of wrapping up at this point, but Alan Davis really emphasized like how his cheeks kind of like sag, how he has that like throat hanging, the man boobs with the gut hanging out, and even like when you look at his pajamas, the like wrinkles in them, like just the contrast that you see from when you turn the page in a couple pages and just see the sparkling fucking fit, like golden, like glittery chiseled. God in front of you. Chiseled, yeah.
Yeah. You went from dad bod to god bod.
Yeah, dude, straight up.
But there's also that really... So we also follow up with Kid Miracle Man.
Yeah, because we get one little scene with him.
And I love that because it shows you like his state. You know, the reprint, I don't feel like does it justice because you do see the yellows and it feels brighter. But when you look at this original printing, I love how like it's all just one flat color in red. It makes it feel eerier and it does make it feel like it's a dream and coming out of you. You know,
yeah, it makes like, that's way better than how it is in the omnibus because like in the omnibus, it's all like evenly colored. but like that, you can tell that the things are like it's not a part of reality. Like, it's very clearly separate.
It's a, well, I can't really tell through the camera, but is it more of like a violet or like a red?
It looks like a pink, like
a pink.
Yeah,
like yeah. A it's pink, more I like think. A pink,
like a magenta or something. I don't know.
It's not like because in the reprint, probably it has the color of his outfit. Sort.
Yeah, and I don't like that. I don't like that at all. You know, to be honest, like I think it's just.
This keeps reminding me of the original colors for the Killing Joke, which just looked
I don't think I've seen
better.
Killing Joke, Killing Joke, Killing Joke original colors.
They're so, they actually I have the
absolute edition.
Yeah, they actually they literally just released that has the original colors in it, which I need to get because I only have the reprinted colors like physically,
I don't think we've ever talked about the Killing Joke on the show. We haven't. Well, we've only done like three Batman stories, to be honest. Like, but that would be an interesting one just to talk about that coloration. Did I do a Killing Joke episode back in the day? I don't know. I don't think so. But that would be fun. That'd be super cool. But yeah, like, and this too ties into this whole cheetah metaphor, and you know, even the conversation, jaguar. Yeah, the conversation between the dude with the Mr. Smiley,
Mr. Clean, right?
Mr. Clean, something like that.
Oh, Mr. Bizarre. Cream, right?
No, it's Cream.
Cream. Yeah. And his like CIA friends and everything. Like, I love how that, like, intertwines between it all. At this point, you know, God, we suck at names. We really do suck at names. But Mike Moran's wife, it's, like, Laura or some shit like that.
Yeah, and, well, when you're looking at this, real quick, actually, I wanted to backtrack to that last page. It's another one of those Alan Moore situations where the writing is oddly sexual. And, like, this dude really just tried cramming so much in there where... Because it's Kid Miracle talking to himself, basically, or like the villain. Yeah. And he's like, you want to gobble her up, Johnny boy? And he just talks about like all the, like sink your teeth into her and like the juice run down your chin and all that. I'm like, this guy always has to make it like super like.
Dude, she even says she's got terrific breasts. Don't you think so, Johnny? And look at her legs. Shut up. Won't let you out. I won't. I mean, I can't let you out. I don't have the power anymore. That's what I meant. I meant to say I can't. To be honest, Johnny, I never thought you could until a second ago.
Yeah, that interaction feels like, the interaction itself feels oddly like sexual across the page.
I can see that. Yeah. No, it's Alan. We're not at the rape phase of Alan Moore yet, but you know, there's some eerie moments.
Building up.
It's there. I don't feel like that like dialogue from the evil part really makes sense. Like, I mean, I guess like him being like, I never really thought you could until just now, and like he was just being a dick, like and like his plan was just to be like, he just wanted to be a dick no matter what. But like, it doesn't like, it wouldn't make sense for him to like have the plan and then to be like, well, I didn't think so, because it's like, well, then why the fuck were you
yes, exactly, like, he's just an asshole. He's just an asshole.
Yeah, but have you guys ever seen interviews or read anything about why his writing gets like that weird sexual tension, or he incorporates that?
Not off the top of my head, I wouldn't be able to call anything.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just, the more we've been reading Miracle Man, the more I catch it, because this is like my second run through with it, and I'm like, man, he really puts this in there.
Oh yeah, it's not subtle.
No,
I feel like, you know, Alan was just like one of those really like deprived guys, like when he was younger, and like, you know, wasn't that social, wasn't out that much. And you're looking at like weird stuff in that time frame, and you know, he's in Northampton. What's really available to you there, no matter what, you know? So a lot of like fantasies just living through your head, and like being at that age of your like early 20s and like unsatisfied, you know what I mean? Like he's getting like a weird. And just being able to absorb like what's around you. You're in Northampton. You know what I mean? Like, Jesus Christ.
Brandon's like, I've been out there. I know what it's like.
Have you guys seen his movie, The Show?
I want to. I haven't yet.
Oh, dude, it's fucking brilliant, for one. But it all takes place in Northampton. And you see it, and you're like, there ain't nothing here. Like, there.
No, is that where he's from?
So bored. Yeah. He's born and raised. Okay. He's never left. He's always lived in Northampton.
Yeah, he's just been like, a wizard out there.
Just straight up. But yeah, this whole like first little story turns into the crazy sex scene, you know, with him, Miracle Man, and Miracle Man just, you know, first off, he's Mike and Moran storms off into the background a few pages ago. And then he was even saying, like, you know, just real snarky, like, you know, you'd rather, you know, you'd rather be with him. Like, you really want him and not me. And that's where that, you know, battle kind of comes from. And he just goes and transforms when Liz is like, no, wait, listen to me. Like, I want to talk to you. And then out comes Miracle Man. And Miracle Man walks out and just takes off his suit and, like, embraces his wife and, like, caresses her. And they bang. She's pregnant right now, too. They've already, like, had sex to establish she's pregnant. And then we lead back to this Jaguar and the attack. And, like, even like, where Garganza is, like, saying now to fire the bullet. That's, like, when she's, like, climaxing and shit. Like, it shifts back to her. And then the kill.
Mm-hmm.
And then the to be continued. You know what I mean? The kill matches with, like, the orgasm of the sex. And I see what he was... He didn't quite pull it off, I don't feel. But I feel like it was a good ramp up. Just the execution didn't fall on point to, like... connect that clearly, you know?
Well, it's trying to like bring everything like full circle with like how like Miracle Man is this predator or like, you know, nothing escapes this apex predator. And he's trying to like show that through the sex scene as well. Cause it, like a page before, it talks about how she feels like she's being hunted and she's afraid and vulnerable, just like when a jaguar is hunting its prey. And then, you know, the payoff is supposed to be the shot and the climax, but you can see, like, again, to your point, the execution isn't entirely there, but you can see the idea he was going for.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It also feels a little forced, if we're being honest.
You know, I also feel like this is all, now he's really, you know, I feel like the first three issues almost felt like complete, you know, 22-page story arcs. And putting them together made sense. But I feel like, especially in this issue, there's three stories in it. And they all feel very short story, like one-shotty. You know what I mean? This does kind of continue the story, just barely. But it's always at the end of everything, almost. Especially this next one, one of those quiet moments. Like, it's about him, like, you know, flying around. There's this kid in the forest, like, living his fucking little fantasy life and taking random shit out of a tree. And he sees this glittery guy over here and asks him some questions. And he's like, I'm a superhero, you know, I guess so and shit. And he's like, prove it. And he goes and just fucking smashes a hole in the ground. Being a kid. Fucking bah. And then, you know, we kind of end off on, like, what we would kind of call the armature of the story. And it's just like, cool little Peter Pan quote. Have you guys ever read Peter Pan before?
Yeah, it's been
I'd love to like read it. I've never read the like novel itself actually, but no, the quote is but the quote's pretty cool. Children have the strangest adventures without being troubled by them. For instance, they may remember to mention a week after the event happened that when they were in the woods, they met their dead father and had a game with him. Peter Pan and Wendy. Interesting, you know, and it's about this kid going in the woods, meeting the superhero and probably like not mentioning it for a long time until like it's like, oh, yeah, it was this fucking guy fucking punch a hole in the ground. But Miracle Man heads back home and he finds his home is destroyed. And that's what triggers off the story. So you have this weird little interlude, basically, and triggers it off into nightmares. And nightmares is actually the real part of all of this that pieces everything to move it forward. Miracle Man's home has been destroyed. Only two people, like, apparently in the world, know, like, his identity and who he is, like, as Mikey Moran. And he goes back to... Mr. Cream, and he's like, what the fuck, dude? He's like, I will fucking destroy you right now if you don't fucking admit it.
What the hell is going on here?
Cream is like, dude, it ain't me. I'll call my CIA friends. They know too. I'll let them know. And then he's telling his CIA friend that, like, Miracle Man's gonna level out London unless you let us know where his wife is in 1 hour. And then they're like, we didn't do it. And he's like, all right, nah, for sure they do. They were gonna shit themselves. Like, they were that scared of what's happening too. But then he's like, there's one other person. And then it switches over to Garganza, and he now has Miracle Man's pregnant wife with him. And we're left on a to be continued.
Love to see it.
That's the issue for you guys.
All the drama.
Yeah.
It pretty much ends there. Oh, actually, before I even go into that, what do you guys think of this overall as we like wrap up?
I liked it. I think I liked the quiet moments one a lot just because I like scenes and sequences like that. Like, I really loved whenever the kid like asks, he's like, you know, would you be able to save us from like nuclear winter, essentially? And he's like, well, he's like, I don't like making any promises, but I'd do my best. And he's like, well, that's about the fairest that you could like say. And I was like, hell yeah, bro. You both were just real as fuck right there. Like, yeah. He was like, look, kid, that's a tough totally question. Right. I'd try. And he's like, all right, man, fair enough. Like, I really like that one. I think that the overall like story definitely makes sense. Like, the dude who, it seems like he's got some real weird, Oedipus isn't exactly the right thing, because it's not his mother, but like his apparent scheme that it seems like he's had for a long time, as far as like, cause he was saying something like the fact that this child is going to become his father, and like,
yeah.
I'm like, this dude's up to something.
more weird Alan Moore sexual stuff.
Yeah, and so it's a very interesting complex that this dude's got going on. So we'll have to, I think how that's fully like executed will be a lot will hinge on that for me, I think. But it's definitely interesting, and I don't know. It also, though, I think does make a lot of sense in hindsight, like having all like, I'm like, oh yeah, I can see this being like the reason the story went this way, from everything that had been set up previously. But yeah, enjoyed it overall though.
Yeah, I was always a fan of getting past origin story shit. Like, the first couple issues feels like if you're watching a movie, like the origin movie, you know, where like you're getting to know everybody, you're understanding his powers, how they work, the origin story of how it came to be and all that. And like, that stuff's cool, and don't get me wrong, it's super essential. But when it comes to like comic book superhero stuff, I always like getting past that.
Yeah.
And just getting into like the nitty gritty of like the crazy shit, you know, like, all right, we're past the formal, like, this is how he became a superhero. I want to see what they do with him next. And you know, it finally feels like,
oh no, my bad. I didn't mean to cut you off. You had one more thought.
No, I was just saying, it just finally feels like we're getting a different type of story where now they're trying to like figure out what it is that makes Miracle Man tick, or like what it is he cares about. How can we get him since he's invulnerable? Right. Kind of like, you know, Superman, of course, where it's like, okay, Superman's invulnerable, but like, how do we work around that?
Exactly. Dude, I think, you know, I remember saying when we started all this, yeah, Pharos.
It's just always like, just take the woman.
Yeah. Honestly, straight up, take the woman. Yeah, fucking Lois to fucking.
All it, like, comes out, which is like. But.
I remember saying when we started Miracle Man that, like, volume 2 was my favorite. And because it was like a fun read and some like cool shit happens and things start to change. And then volume 3, it's like really complex and really like almost like really philosophical, I feel. Alex is probably gonna have a fucking blast with Olympia, to be honest, because it really gets deep into true. Some of that shit. Yeah.
That's right before Neil Gaiman, right?
Yeah, yeah. That dense ass volume, you know what I mean? So it's gonna be fun exploring those issues. But I don't see, it's been so long since I've read this fucking book, like 10 years. I don't remember why it was my favorite, but I remember Red King Syndrome was my favorite. So I think it's because of that. You move past the origin, you kind of figure out why he's become himself, and now we're seeing the results of that. And that's what we really want to anticipate towards.
Yeah.
Crazy enough, this issue is over for you guys. This issue wasn't over for me. I had, in this Eclipse printing, a backup called the Red King Syndrome Part 1, which is what this arc is technically called. Now, we were going to review this, like, little short story, The Red King Syndrome, but it turns out that I think in all the collected editions, I could be wrong, but in my Marvel reprint over here...
what is that one called?
It's called The Red King Syndrome, and I think the way it's listed for me is that once you get through the three issues we just went over, Cat Games, One of Those Quiet Moments, and Nightmares... The next part is technically issue 5 of the Eclipse printing, chapter 4, The Approaching Light. And then it does this interlude the Red King Syndrome. The
Red King Syndrome. Yeah, yeah. That's how I was like, goes, what's going on?
That's how it's
it does that jump.
They also connect.
Okay.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. This printing is absurd in all
it's,
of the
it's
versions.
It's insane. Yeah. Good luck following along, everyone. I'm going to have to read both things to kind of just bounce back and forth as I enter issue 7. I mean, chapter 7, issue 5, book 2.
Part 18.
Chapter 18. Yeah.
It's like reading a legal document, dude. Like,
yeah. Paragraph like, here's 5. A bonus story that's 100 issues later.
Section 4C.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a legal
third
document.
Printing. Well, we'll be continuing more Miracle Man in the next couple weeks. We're wrapping it all up by the end of the year, so we'll get to jump on it a bit more. But keep an eye out, and keep an eye out for some upcoming Black Hammer, an X-Men commentary, and check out our previous stuff. The heavy metal commentary we did was fucking killer. Go listen to that. I don't even remember any of our other episodes off the top. Wiccan Divine has been coming out. We've been consistent on that too. Part 4 should be coming out pretty soon as well, and 5 within the next month or two, I'm sure. And yeah, I mean, keep an eye out for everything else we announced at the beginning of the show. You guys are all amazing. Alex, Brandon, any final words on MM number 4?
No, I don't think so.
Reread everything so you can reconfuse yourself.
There you go. Well, thanks for hanging.
Thanks for having me.